Hey, hey, if you're listening to that music, you know that this is another edition of Spiritual Perspectives. Spiritual Perspectives, looking at the real world from, well, a spiritual perspective. My name is Scout Bartlett. I'll be your host. We're originating from our flagship station, KEST 1450 AM in San Francisco, syndicated and simulcast around the world on the internet. You can listen to us and listen to the replay on www.ifidknownthen.com. www.ifidknownthen.com. I am so wound up, it's hard for me to even slow my speech down this morning because I am tremendously excited about our guest this morning. There's a couple of notes that I want to talk about because it's interesting there's some overlap. I happen to have been born in St. Louis. Our guest this morning was also born in St. Louis, Missouri, and then spent her early years with her family moving across the Eastern Seaboard. Oddly enough, my family started, I was born in St. Louis, and we moved to the Eastern Seaboard before we headed back Midwest again. Julia's family headed out west and eventually reached California, and she earned her Bachelor's of Music at San Jose State, so she's got our local connections, studied her craft and performed in Florence, Italy as an opera apprentice, and then gained additional stage experience at Opera San Jose, a professional repertoire company for emerging opera singers. Now, you may wonder, why do we have opera? This is an individual that does concerts all over the United States, taking her audiences, and I love this quote, on an inspirational journey, and this is very true of her, in which she grapples with issues of the world at large, as well as the individual human condition. Julia's performance is described as an experience of being beautifully entertained, all the while that your soul is being nourished. As a classical crossover and inspirational singer, our guest this morning, Julia Wade, has been hailed by critics, reviewed around the world, and as a recording artist at home in the studio has no less than, I believe she's bringing out this year, her 11th solo and duet CD. One of the most recent was Duets, Woman to Woman, Conversations with Wise Women in My Life. She's currently in production to be a lead in a very special performance project, Anybody Is Anybody Listening, which will be produced initially in New York City's Sheen Center. Yeah, you all try that one at home. Which will be produced initially in New York City's Sheen Center for Thought and Culture. A unique path as an inspirational singer, Julia explores the complexities of everyday life and the human heart, exploring our innermost spirituality. In fact, let me let Julia sort of introduce herself.
I've tried hard. I've done my best. But maybe your best just ain't good enough without the Lord in your
Julia was the chosen soloist for a major International Church at the world headquarters of the First Church of Christian Science in Boston for 7 years. And through the music she chose and the inspirations she brought through musical lyrics, she actually, as near as we can tell, has changed music in their services and changed music ecumenically on a global scale. Everybody, I am proud to have the opportunity to introduce you all to Julia Wade. Everybody, this is Julia. Julia, this is everybody.
Hey, everybody.
Welcome. Glad you're here. It's nice we got them all together all at once, isn't it?
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Sort of handy. I have one quick question.
Sure.
Recent, I think you have another CD coming out this year, right? But right before that was Duets, Woman to Woman, Conversations with Wise Women in My Life. There's a series of women that you sang with for that. There's 8 of them on a 10-song CD. How did that particular project come about?
Oh, my gosh. This was a project of the heart. But every project is. That's the truth. But it was 3 years in the making. And one day, my producer, Peter Link, and my main composer, Peter Link, and I were talking, and I wanted to really collaborate with some of the, some of the great singers in my life who are also on a thought journey, in their own spheres of influence. And as we made lists and lists of amazing people, it just became clear that there was this particular set of women, and it was so interesting to have conversations with them. And so we weren't in any way trying to leave the gentleman singers in my life out. It's the way it evolved and developed, and they all have wonderful careers, doing different kinds of music. And it's just been such a joy. And it took 3 years from the first idea until we actually got the CD out. And that had a lot to do with writing special material for each woman and myself so that we could musically and inspirationally and spiritually meet, for a conversation based on, who they are and what they do.
So, is all the material in that written by Peter?
Yes, absolutely.
Wow, that's fabulous.
What we did was we met with each singer and met together, all three of us, and then Peter took notes as we had conversations. And then he also, would have a series of continuing conversations with that particular singer until a song, was formed to really capture the individuality of each one.
Wow.
Now, I do want to make one correction. I do apologize. There's one song that is actually a hymn from the Christian Science hymnal. And he did not write that, but he did arrange it very specially for the two of us to sing.
Oh, Peter. Perfect. Peter. There we go. Just messed that word up and tried to make it into two. Yeah,
no worries.
That's perfect. That's fabulous.
Yeah.
So, Julia, there's no doubt that you have a background where you've sung traditional music, you've done opera, you performed opera in Italy, which I think is a pretty high watermark.
Yeah, thank you.
And yet this big chunk of your career recently has been every bit as much about a message of spiritual perspective, to borrow, spirit connectedness and even healing. This period of your cycle has been every bit as much about that as it's been about music. Am I accurate?
Absolutely, yes.
So in the combination with your producer and writer and primary writer, Peter Link, whom I think you also like snatched away and married, if I remember correctly.
That's very true, yes.
Good move.
Thank you. We wear many hats with each other.
So there's a whole series here about music and about spirit. And this question usually comes up later, but I want to hit it before I get so caught up in everything else that I want to talk to you about that I forget. Okay. One question I always like to ask, and I'm not looking for an institutional answer. I'm really wanting to know yours. And it doesn't have to be correct. It just whatever is from your heart. The word pray and prayer, Julia, there's a place that everybody that I talk to on the program describes when they know they've hit that place where they are in prayer or they are praying, which isn't necessarily, you know, I grew up in a now I lay me tradition. But prayer, pray, what does that word really mean to you? And two questions, what does that word mean to you? And then where do you find that state in either your performance, your writing, or your rehearsal?
Oh, gosh. Do you have a couple of hours?
Yeah, you got 54 minutes. Go for it.
Okay, great. Well, prayer, the word prayer for me is an absolute active word. It's a verb. And it's also a state of consciousness. But I love to think of prayer in action, so that whatever I'm doing or whatever one is doing, let's make it more universal. Prayer is always available. It's always right there with us. You know, whether I'm swimming in the ocean surrounded by sharks, or, you know, sitting quietly in a chair with my eyes closed thinking prayerful thoughts. It's something that I try to do on a regular basis, daily, at any time, any moment. So it's an active thing. I think that prayer can be several things, and I think one of the biggest things that it can be is an active listening, an inner listening for guidance, for communication from what I term to be God, to be that all ever-present, that ever-present spirit that is all around us and available to us. Through our consciousness, through our thinking, through our heart, 24/7, always. So prayer for me is active listening. And sometimes prayer is an active reaching out. You know, it can be a request for help. It can be a conversation, an inner conversation, within my consciousness to, you know, what I understand to be, that listening ear, that listening God or spirit. And I can do it anywhere, anytime, any place. So that's, I guess, the basis, you know. In music, that's where I feel I reach it, a state of prayer, probably the most often and the most consistently, because for me, music is literally another way of praying, another way of communicating the thoughts of God, the thoughts of spirit, the thoughts of, and the thoughts of man. I mean, you know, I think of, people and God as being, you know, God and her creation. So we're all in this together. And music is a way for us to unite, whether we're in the audience or on the stage, to unite in thought through a musical experience. And in my case, it's the marriage of words and music that provide that that amazing message or communication, whatever it is we're talking about. That's a long answer, isn't it?
Oh, that was beautiful. That you got all the different pieces, and I'm so proud of myself because I nailed this. I grabbed a clip from Upon a Mountain. This is Julia singing Upon a Mountain, music and lyrics by Peter Link, who we mentioned a moment ago. But y'all, let me give you a lyric first, which is backwards, and then I want you to listen for how Julia formed this. The lyric, outside time and beyond all space, there is truth, and then there's all the rest. How do you find it? How do you get there? How can you possibly break through? You start by going to the secret place, the innermost point of control, the deepest recesses of your inner space, the still point of your soul. Where matter doesn't matter, and the mind is all in all, where truth pours forth like a fountain, where darkness is not known, and light is all there is. And it's simply you and God upon a mountain. Now, hear how it's done right. so very sweet. Now, Julia,
thank you.
I've had the privilege of hearing Sarah Brightman live in concert and getting to hear her singing music that Andrew Lloyd Webber obviously wrote to her voice.
Yes.
I know Peter's immersed in your voice all the time. It has to be that the two of you also share in the lyric creation as well as this being written to your voice.
Well, on a conceptual level, absolutely. And Peter really is one of the finest crafted lyricists I've ever known or had the privilege to sing, you know, his words that I've had the privilege to sing. And you're right, I'm about to release my 11th solo CD, the last one with the duets album, which is just an amazing experience. And whenever we sit down to get ready for a new CD, many, many conversations ensue about, you know, the concept of the CD, the songs that we know we want to include, the types of songs, and, you know, what is the central theme. And oftentimes that emerges in the process. We sit down with a basic idea, and then we go to work on, you know, what's in our collective thinking, what I've been thinking about, what do I want to communicate to the world about, on an inspirational level, and what's in Peter's mind along those lines. So I've actually collaborated on one song in particular where I actually had a hand in writing some of the lyrics. But in general, he is the lyricist, and I come in with lots of conceptual ideas, and there are times when I'll say to him, I can't sing that because I don't believe that turn of phrase, and we'll discuss it at length. And then sometimes it's simply a different word, and it can be the nice. Smallest word that simply pivots the meaning to a place where we're both completely comfortable. So there's great collaboration in all of that. And then my job also as a vocal artist is to interpret the words and the music, from my own point of view.
Perfect. Yeah, I know one of them that we have, I'm like scanning lists even while we talk, sort of multitasking, which us guys aren't supposed to do. But I know that in your CDs there are songs that are specifically lyric credited to you. I want to jump away for a second, though.
Sure.
In addition to your 11th CD that you're bringing out this year, you're also involved in a very, very special project. Is Anybody Listening that you're involved in with Jenny Burton? Talk to us a little bit about this. Is Anybody Listening as a conceptual thing? Because I know it's a couple concerts in New York, which many of us won't drop by in California anyway. And some of our international audience, we have a lot of listeners in Australia, they may not drop by. But it's well beyond just, gee, a gaggle of us are going to get together and sing at the Laredo Theater in New York. Talk to us about that, if you would.
Sure. This is a brand new project, like you said, that's very far reaching. We're presenting the first concert of Is Anybody Listening in New York City at the Sheen Center in four performances, September and October. And basically, Is Anybody Listening is a concept that grew out of the fact that we have with Peter Link and other artists, including Jenny Burton, myself, and some wonderful vocalists in New York City, as well as other songwriters. We have this enormous library or repertoire of music created and performed and recorded over the last, 25 years, and lots more coming. We all share this sensibility that music is a healing force, or can be a healing force in the world, because music is a universal language. Mm-hmm. And when you put powerful lyrics with powerful messages to that universal language, in the language of song specifically, there's a wonderful opportunity to raise awareness, raise consciousness of particular issues. So we like to think of, if anybody listening, as a clarion call to the world to pay attention. Hence the name, you know, Is Anybody Listening? You know, we live in a world of such extreme busyness and the cacophony of all the things that rush into our lives and mix together, and, you know, and everybody's walking around on the streets, at least on the East Coast in New York City, you know, with their earbuds in their ears and, you know, writing texts and not seeing what's right in front of them, you
Playing
know?
Pokemon.
And so this is very much a response to that sort of crazy confusion that's out there, and really saying, hey, let's pay attention and let's get together and let's think about, through music, as audience and performers, as writers and, you know, as artists and all of that, let's think about some of the big issues in the world, some of the big social justice issues and the problems of the planet. You name it, we're all dealing with it, right? And so what we do in this concert is to bring forth songs that deal with particular issues. This first set of concerts, the four concerts in New York, I like to think of as, for lack of a better term, a smorgasbord of songs that deal head on with issues. So the first part of the concert has four or five songs that deal, for example, with for example, the dignity of women, you know, upholding the dignity of women. One of the songs, it's one that I actually perform. It's called How Are We Raising Our Sons? It's not recorded yet, so I can't even play you anything.
Yeah, I was just looking at my clips. I don't have it.
Yeah, where is that? Yeah. And that song is really all about how do we handle this horrible epidemic that raises its ugly head throughout the world of women being raped, and it doesn't even have to be that gender specific, but that is the most normal,
universal,
often happenstance, you know. Mm-hmm. And so the message in the song is to say, you know, who do we blame? Well, we have to look to ourselves, everybody, fathers and mothers, brothers and sisters, everybody. And it's not just about how are we raising our sons, it's how are we raising our children. And it all comes back to the idea of we look to ourselves, we look to our own consciousness, our own inner thought. It goes back to that song, It's Upon the Mountain, really. So it's always taking it back to how are we acting in our lives and how are we interacting with our fellow man, our fellow men and women and friends and brothers and sisters and et cetera. So that's one example of how we are tackling these big problems. Another song in the show is called South Africa, and one of the lyrics is, we look to South Africa, and Jenny Burton sings this with the ensemble of men and women, and it's a song about racism, which, you know, we've had so many examples just this year of this issue popping up in our country in the most ridiculous, difficult ways that you would think that by now we would have it figured out. And so we're trying to come at these issues with deep, beautiful, uplifting. Sometimes it's just music that's going to rock your soul and hopefully activate people to action, to more awareness, to healing.
Sweet.
So that's a long but short answer. When you ask me a question, you're always going to get a long answer.
I love that. Well, that's good. I ask complicated questions.
Okay.
And in addition to the music, I just want to point out to everybody, in addition to the music that's been specifically written about spiritual context, the truth is Jenny explores.
That's okay. We all do.
Julia also explores, you can find this, as she said, music is that universal language. And you find those messages in much of the music that we hear all the time. So here's Julia. And you may notice that you recognize this clip.
From a distance, we all have enough, and no one is in need. There are no guns, no bombs, no diseases, no hungry mouths.
Yeah, and that, of course, was written by Julie Gold and more famously, perhaps, at least for the moment, more famously recorded by Mette Midler. I want to drop away for just a second to remind y'all what you're listening to and where you are, and then we'll be right back. So first, let me thank our program today is sponsored by the First Church of Christ Scientists. In Mill Valley. They invite you to check out their church Sundays at 10, Wednesday evenings at 7:30. They invite you to check out any Christian Science reading room you may wander across. You won't be accosted. You'll simply be invited to relax and explore. And also a reminder that you can learn much more on spirituality.com. And then to remind you who we are. Hey, if you're listening to that music, you know you're listening to an edition of Spiritual Perspectives, taking a look at real life from, well, a spiritual perspective. My name is Scout Bartlett. I am just privileged as I could possibly be to be your host, and we're originating from our flagship station, KEST 1450 AM in San Francisco, syndicated and then also archived, where you can listen later on www.ifidknownthen.com, www.ifidknownthen.com. Our guest today, I want to reintroduce you, is Julia Wade, but rather than me introduce you, let me let her introduce herself.
I want to know what peace looks like. The girl of Uganda said. I want to know what peace looks like. She spent her life in fractured war, but now she's stepping through a door that takes her far from home. My wish, my hope, my dream.
Peace Looks Like. And that song is credited lyrics by Peter Link and Julia Wade. Everybody, I really want to introduce you to Julia Wade. Everybody, this is Julia. Julia, this is everybody.
Hi again, and thank you for having me, Scout.
This is such a delight. The better I get to know you, the deeper, more deeply I hear your lyrics, which I just find to be a fabulous experience. So I've got notes that say that I want to know what peace looks like came about as you were teaching in inner city schools in L.A., and then you ended up viewing a documentary on music and its positive influence on children growing up in a refugee camp in Uganda. What a remarkable place to speak from for you and Peter to work together and create that piece.
Absolutely. I'll tell you quickly that years after I had taught, I'd spent 6 years teaching and performing as an artist in residence with the LA Music Center in Los Angeles when I lived there. And I traveled all over Los Angeles County, which you know is huge, uh-huh. and other counties as well. Sometimes I would drive 200 miles round trip on a particular day, and that's very normal. And but I had the opportunity to teach in schools of all economic levels, from Pacific Palisades over on the ocean to the inner city schools in Watts and South Central. And so forth. And two things that I learned more than anything was that those experiences asked me more than all the education I'd ever received, asked me to discover and communicate how I felt about my art, because I was speaking directly to, all of these incredibly creative young minds in all of these neighborhoods. And so that was probably the best education I could have ever received. And it was such an incredible time. And the other thing that I learned was that children are children. They are just the most wonderful beings, and it doesn't matter what situation or economic level, whether they're in an inner city or in a very wealthy community, they all have that same inner core of creativity, expressiveness, hope, love, joy, to be tapped and to be seen and to be evidenced. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Yeah, it's beautifully said.
And so years later, after those experiences, I was watching a documentary one night. It's called War Dance. And it's about children from a particular tribe called, and I don't know if I'm saying this correctly, the Acholi tribe. And they were growing up in Patongo, which is a remote refugee camp in Uganda. So these children, some of them had actually been born into the camp, and that's what they know. And so the film follows some of the kids in their daily lives. And there's a music program that comes in to teach them their native tribal songs and dances. And then they are chosen to go to Kampala for a competition, a city or a countrywide competition. So it just kind of takes all these, takes us through this experience. And it shows these particular children on a bus, and they're coming into Kampala. They've never been there. They've really hardly been out of the camp. And one of the documentary filmmakers asks one little girl what she looks most forward to on the trip, just as she's coming off the bus. And she says, "I want to know what peace looks like." And I fell off my chair. And I couldn't think or do anything else for the next 3 or 4 days. It just so struck me, and I just started writing. And in response to that, with all these other kinds of ideas and experiences that I'd had with children, and so I took it to Peter, and we were at that point working on an album called Silk Road, which was more of a me moving out into social justice music. So this was just an amazing evolution into a song. And also, we made a video. So if you check out what Peace looks like, go to YouTube. You'll find it also on my website, juliawade.com.
Yeah, I was just going to mention that. So let me reinforce that. Julia's website, Julia Wade, which is JuliaWade, juliawade.com, will take you in, as well as giving you access to 10 of her soon-to-be 11 CDs. And there's a key within everything you mentioned. And so I'm going to give you the question, then I'm going to give you a moment to think. Because what you said was, when you look at how you phrase it, the songs you do and the songs you choose musically, is what I want to communicate to the world on an inspirational basis. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to come back to ask that as a question in a moment, but I'm going to give you a second to think, so that you won't give us one of those short answers.
Okay.
This is a song from the Is Anybody Listening concert idea. Well, this is a song that will be included in the Is Anybody Listening concerts, a problem-solving song with a spiritual solution, encouraging the listener to listen to their own inner voice and consciousness, offering an answer to the question of what do you do when there is nowhere and no one to turn to.
There is something in the stillness calling softly to me. Even though I'm all alone, and the sound is like nothing I've ever heard or seen, and it's calling from the deep unknown. Then the mountains move, and the cold wind roars, and the fire fills the sky. But temptation always passes by, leaving some softly to me. Woman, don't you run and hide. You shall not be afraid. You can trust in me. If you listen to the voice inside.
If you listen to the voice inside. Julia, it's really clear from every single answer you've given us that you don't just sort of sing music, but you spend a lot of time deep inside yourself and deep in thought. So here's your chance to not have to shape it to lyrics and not have to shape it to music. Julia, what do you want to communicate to the world in an inspirational basis, my dear?
Wow.
That's why I gave you a second.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I want to communicate the ability, the innate ability that we all come with to access spirit, to live spiritual lives, to find our solutions, whether you find yourself in growing up in a refugee camp, or working in a high-rise building, in Singapore or New York City or Los Angeles, or working on a farm in Iowa, or another rural community in the world. The point is that I believe we are spiritual beings first and foremost, and we are humans, and we have our problems and our difficulties and our challenges, and we can go so far to say that our wars, but there is something so much deeper than all of the biggest problems in the world that if we as this song that you just played, if we get still enough, or if we find ourselves so boxed up in a corner that there is nowhere else to go. And sometimes that's what it takes, I think, for us, because we're running so fast in our lives, that we do have what the Bible, what Jesus talked about in the Bible, is the kingdom of God is within you. Mm-hmm. And so, or the kingdom of heaven, or, you know, the kingdom of spirit. And I like to think of that as consciousness, as our inner consciousness, as we talked about in the song Upon the Mountain. As a Christian Scientist, I have and continue to work and practice in my life the idea that that we all have this innate instinct or ability or quality to access the healing powers of, my language is God or spirit or love. You know, those are all, to me, synonyms, names for God, the creator of all of us. And what I want to communicate is that no matter what's going on, there is an answer, there is a solution. And sometimes it's a real wild battle to the solutions. But if we arm ourselves with spiritual qualities, spiritual power, or the power of spirit, or, you know, finding that oneness. And that song, it's called A Still Small Voice.
Yes.
And the origin of that song has its roots in a Bible verse, or actually a Bible story in 1 Kings in the Old Testament, where Elijah, you know, went off to a cave and closed himself off and, thought he was going there to die. He was at the end of his rope. And it talks about how the Lord passed by and there's this big wind and the mountains broke, you know, earthquake, wind, fire, all that stuff. But through all of that, it says the Lord was not in all of that, but after all of the fire and all the craziness, there was this still small voice. And it was that still small voice that he was able to, you know, see through to, even through the fire, the earthquake, the wind, all of that. And in the end, in the beginning and the end, and during it all, that still small voice is, I think we have the opportunity always to access it, get to it, listen to it. And so we really are talking about prayer again, you know?
Yeah, perfect. It reminds me of a quote that I saw recently that made my head stop for a moment.
Yeah.
And the quote simply said, "You don't have a soul. You are a soul. You have a body."
Hmm.
I just liked it a lot. I think of myself as a spiritual being exploring life through a body. So the next clip I've lined up fits exactly with what you were just saying. So it's so clear that you speak your spirit in your musical choices, because this one, to me, talks directly to every one of us to challenge us to see how love really is ultimately the answer to all of it, and that we have to commit to being love and loving even in the small things as well as the larger issues.
Yeah.
If you had only worked from love, in a quiet space, in a holy place. If you only had worked from love and let love find a way.
And I want to let everybody know we snuck that one in. That song has not yet been released. And again, we'll credit music and lyrics by Peter Link. That one's is that one going to be on the CD coming out?
That's on the CD coming out, and it's also the summation song of the Is Anybody Listening concert.
Sweet.
The idea that we've, you know, explored many, many issues, the scarcity of water, you know, the dignity of women, race, starting over, all kinds of things. And the idea is that it all boils down to every problem, the solution for every problem boils down to, you know, where do we begin in our own lives? And how do we, you know, are we enough as individuals? Absolutely. You know, because it can take one person to change consciousness and to inspire that change. One of the things that you had asked me what music does and why inspirational music is so important to me. Mary Baker Eddy, who is the founder and discoverer of Christian Science, wrote a textbook called Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, and it's read from every week, you know, in church and so forth. Mm-hmm. And Christian Scientists and all kinds of people in the world study the book. It's just full of lots of great spiritual wisdom. But this is one of my favorite quotes of all time with regard to music. And she says, whatever inspires with wisdom, truth, or love, be it song, sermon, or science, blesses the human family with crumbs of comfort from Christ's table, feeding the hungry, and giving living waters to the thirsty.
Nice.
That's why I sing.
Yeah. And I'll make a side comment, because I know some of our listeners have maybe some scars from other organizations called church. When I've experienced being in a Christian Science church, and I am not Christian Scientist, which sort of allows me that perspective, when I've experienced being in a Christian Science church, what I found was that I was invited to think, either think out loud or think to myself, but that I was invited to think, and nobody came storming up afterwards insisting that I join or tithe or that I think their particular way. Although when I have been there, people have been very friendly and they did want to feed me. It's a place to think. So one piece I always like to point out in the Spiritual Perspectives program, we do this program to introduce you to the smorgasbord of ideas that are there being explored by people who perhaps think similarly to you. And here's another resource. So there's a piece here that I want to just toss in really quick because it just gives me chills all the way to the base of my spine.
Mm-hmm.
And then, Julia, you and I are going to have just a couple minutes after that to sort of close out. But let me just give this to everybody because it just takes my breath away. With that still small voice and walking further in into yourself, and I love that part of the lyric, thank you, Peter. When matter doesn't matter and the mind is all in all, where truth pours forth like a fountain, where darkness is not known and light is all there is, and it's simply you and God upon the mountain. Julia, it's so clear that in how you put your music together, in the message that you bring across, that's exactly what you want to do, is ring that bell deep inside people to remind them that love is the answer. We've got a couple of minutes here, and this is one time where you don't have to memorize lyric. Just what do you want to say to everybody?
I want to say, and thank you so much, Scout, for this wonderful opportunity to talk with you and to discuss these important things. I want to say that my approach to music, and that would be true for Peter Link and, you know, the people that I collaborate with, Jenny Burton and so forth, we're here to speak in a universal language, not with a particular religion, but certainly with a spiritual perspective that each of us comes from. And mine has been deeply grounded in a particular religion. But what that grounding has done for me is to realize that we all come from the same spiritual ground, regardless of the labels, regardless of practices or whatever. I think, you know, there's that idea that there are many paths up the mountain. And so we all take our different path, our different journey. But I think the goal is the same, which is to reach that inner core, that communion upon the mountain with the one mind, the one love, the one great heart of love, the one God, the world over. And so I'm always seeking and striving, and I include my collaborators, in speaking in a language, in a song, in a lyric that can reach anybody and everybody if that's what they're seeking. You know, if I'm deeply invested in what I'm singing about, then that produces the opportunity for others to write their own story in response to the spiritual message that's coming at them, or the problem, you know, that's being presented, and the solutions that are being offered, or just in raising awareness. So I guess that's what I want to say, is that we're striving always to speak in a language that is accessible to as many people as possible, regardless of labels and various religions and you name it.
Yeah, there's a project I'm in the midst of right now that the summary sentence is simply, love is the word for the experience we have when our energy and our aliveness is flowing in us.
Definitely.
Upon the mountain,
I want to throw in a quick thanks to Carlos, our technical producer today, who's done a beautiful job of following all my little frantic hand-waving signals. Thank you so much. Julia, I can't even imagine how this could have been a more exquisite way to start my day and my week. Thank you so very much.
Well, thank you. And just a quick thing that I want to add on. This project will be available on a more worldwide basis. We're developing the webcast version of the concert. So your friends in Australia and even some of the folks in San Francisco will eventually be able to see some of this and experience it.
Perfect.
Is anybody listening?
Perfect. Check in on juliawade.com. Also, keep an eye out for Is Anybody Listening? This has been Scout Bartlett in addition of Spiritual Perspectives, looking at real life from a spiritual perspective. I have two requests of every one of you. One, treat yourself as a loved one because you truly are. And no matter where on earth you are, it's a perfect day to have a great day on purpose.